There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Reminder, the phone number, same as it ever was, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on a text or a phone call. And a reminder there with the FM Talk 106.5 app. All the other stuff going on there, which is really cool. It's the best place to stream the station, get our podcast there, show schedules, updates on there, all our social media feeds in one place with breaking news, which, by the way, big flex, Leanna. Look at the number of people that follow us on Facebook. Good job and good work, Leanna. But you can see all that there. But right there on the bottom of the main screen, it's a microphone icon. If you press that, it lets you record a message, and then it emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, good to have this man back in studio, and a lot to talk about with Admiral Kent Davis, head of Vets for Cover, and a man who's celebrating, as we look at all the days, the what today is. It's a big flex here. The Navy, how many years old?
250 years, Sean.
250.
It's a big birthday for the Navy.
250. What? So when we decided this we're going to have a Navy, I wonder what that looked like. Like, what ships constituted our Navy?
That's a great question. So why October 13th? Well, on October 13th, 1775, the Continental Congress authorized the building of a 10-gun frigate. And that's considered the beginning of the U.S. Navy. So that's why we always celebrate on this date the start of the U.S. Navy.
Yeah, think about what they were facing. So y'all think about what's going on here. And we talk about the win over the superpower of superpowers at that time. These upstart colonialists and their fight. The Navy they would be facing with the English was, I mean, in today's world, it's our Navy. It's the biggest. Right? I mean, we were going to face off on the biggest Navy the planet had seen at that point.
Absolutely. It's funny, today, we don't have the most ships. The Chinese actually have more ships than us. We have more gross tonnage. But yeah, back then, it was almost insurmountable facing the British Navy. But
hey, guys, here, we're going to let you build this ship. Navy started, hey, boss, we got to face the Royal Navy? Okay.
But you had heroes like John Paul Jones who stepped up and commanded some of those early ships and beat some of the finest British ships out there, the HMS Guerriere. And he commanded the Bonhomme Richard and issued the famous adage of, I have not yet begun to fight, when he thought he was defeated at first. And the British said, you need to surrender or we're going to destroy your ship. And he came back and actually defeated the British.
Yeah, that's we talk about these great, not that it's untold, but it's maybe not as popular as some of the descriptions of land battles, right, in the Revolution. I mean, people know more about Bunker Hill probably than any other naval engagement, in a naval engagement, but they were up against some incredible odds.
They were, and that early Navy actually stopped a lot of British troops landing on American soil with some of their victories. And Mobile should be proud of their naval heritage. There's a lot of Navy history here, and you still see it today from Alabama Shipyard, the work that they do in repairing, refurbishing Navy ships. They're working on the USNS Mercy now. Austell Shipyards building Navy ships, state-of-the-art Navy ships right here in Mobile. There's a long heritage in Mobile with the U.S. Navy, and we should be proud of that locally.
And I'd be remiss. I'd hear from all of them on the text line. It wasn't too long after that that y'all said, well, we need some people on the ships that can go in and fight on land. And was it in a bar room that the Marine Corps idea of the Marine Corps started? I think it's a legitimate place for it to start. But.
Well, it's interesting. The Marine Corps got its start actually a little bit before the Navy.
That's what they say. Where were they going to go if there was no Navy?
Well, the first action was during the Revolutionary War. There was a naval squadron that took on the British in the Bahamas. And the first amphibious assault by the U.S. Marines took place during that battle, the combination of the Navy and the Marine Corps during the Revolutionary War. So early origins and early successes.
Well, happy birthday to y'all. You don't look really a day over 200, 250. So congratulations.
It ain't the years, it's the mileage.
But, got that right. All right. And also, I want to briefly, until we get into what we want to talk about today, anything you hear from the veterans community on, with the shutdown, that we, people often say, like, I hadn't seen any change in my life with the shutdown. And now I just heard a news update. It may go longer than anyone in the, Mike Johnson saying this. But what does that mean to enlisted? What does it mean to our members of the military?
Yeah, the big debate is over pay for mm-hmm. the military, and they're going to have to decide that in Washington, D.C. and come up with
I know it's constitutional that Congress gets paid, but it's an abomination that they get paid, and men and women...
Isn't that an abomination?
It's the rules, but we can change rules with our system, and one should be, if Congress is getting paid, our military is getting paid.
That should be the rule. The president's working on reprogramming money to get people paid, and I hope that goes through because they deserve that. Luckily, on the veteran side, we're not seeing huge impacts because most of the things that Veterans Affairs does is considered essential government services. So disability payments are still going out. Health care is still occurring. The main impact has been in public relations events thus far in both Department of Defense, Department of War, and Veterans Affairs.
Boy, it's weird changing all that. It affected situations here. You have this, I think about the high ranking, but I also think about, the way my friends served and all that, that here they are, and or parents who are listening to us today who have sons and daughters serving, and they want a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people are just kind of disgusted that we go through this way too often every mm-hmm. year. Really, can't you get your act together? If you were a private business, you would have been bankrupt long ago because you can't even come up with an annual budget that everybody can agree on. So, that being said, so far we haven't seen huge impacts. We saw one here in Mobile because the Navy said, hey, no PR, no public relations events. So, there was a big celebration at the USS Alabama last night that had to be changed quite a bit because
keynote speaker, my guest right here.
Yeah, I had 24 hours notice of that. It was a great event, but there was supposed to be a military flyover. There was supposed to be an active duty admiral who was the guest speaker. And at pretty much the last minute, DOD said, can't do it because of the shutdown. So the Mobile Navy League had done a great job planning a great event at the Alabama and had to scurry at the last minute, come up with alternative plans. They picked the junior varsity for mm-hmm. a speaker, and they asked me, I think Saturday morning, I got the final word, hey, can you come be our speaker tomorrow?
You'd be like, hey, you're an admiral. Come on.
Retired admirals aren't affected by the shutdown.
So let's talk about this, too, and your role with Vets Recover. We've talked about that before, but we'll interweave that. But this term has come up before just in general for hospitals in the state of Alabama. And now to see how, and reflecting a couple stories, how it's affecting veterans, a certificate of need, a CON. What is that, Admiral?
It's bizarre in a state like Alabama that claims to be so free market and mm-hmm. pro-business. There is a scheme in place for basically any medical facility to open. You have to go before a board in the state of Alabama and argue to get a certificate of need and prove that there's a need for that facility. It's a very long bureaucratic process.
Now, instead of the market, if you want to open a hamburger stand, you open a hamburger stand, either there's need and you make a living or succeed or you don't.
You take the risk of opening that business and you go out in competition in the free market. That's the basis of our economy. But not here in Alabama when it comes to medical facilities.
You have to ask if you can, right? Like, put it in Sullivanese. You got to ask this board.
You do.
Now, if I can open this.
The real problem is that a competitor, and sometimes competitors are serving on that board, But a competitor can come in and basically protest your application for a certificate of need and tie up the process. Oftentimes, those competitors have big money behind them, and the people trying to break into the market don't have a lot of money. Now, Vets Recover experienced this a few years ago when they proceeded to try to open their bed facility over on Spring Hill Avenue. Protest was filed by a big-name company, and it tied it up and delayed it for a long time. Right now, there are several mental health facilities trying to open in Alabama. They tend to be smaller. Some are nonprofits. And a lot of them are close to throwing their hands up, saying, too hard in Alabama. I know of one facility in Alabama that's connected with a national nonprofit. In the last 3 years, they've been trying to open a facility here to mainly treat veterans. In that same period, they've opened three facilities in California. Now, we often think of California as a blue state full of red tape and
bureaucracy. So much bureaucracy.
But they managed to open three in California, and they're still not able to open their facility.
They could navigate California's bureaucracy with more success than Alabama.
Yep. Even when an identified need with political support is out there, like is going on, I don't mind mentioning them. There's a group, a great group called Longleaf Recovery, trying to open a facility up in the Birmingham area. It's gotten political support. It's been covered in Yellowhammer News, 1819 News. They're having all sorts of difficulty because they can't get past that protest process.
I mean, so to put it in terms we can all understand, so back to my hamburger chain. We've got Admiral's Burgers. Mm-hmm. And then this upstart, this and you're on this board, and Sullivan's. I'm gonna start this burger thing. I've got this idea. I'm gonna start these burgers. Then I have to ask if I can open the burgers. And you, who I'm gonna take money out of your pocket, or possibly, you get to make a decision whether I get to enter the field or not.
Yeah. In so many words, that's often the case. That's not how a free market economy is supposed to work.
No.
Now I do understand there need to be regulations on medical facilities, but that's a different process. There should be a monitoring to make sure you're not practicing witch science or something like that. But that's a separate process.
But they could check everybody out. I mean, whether they could, just because you're new to the business, you go through the same inspections and all those things, that's fine.
That's right. Yeah, it is an anti-competitive process that we put in place in Alabama. And a lot of states are dumping their certificate of need processes, including surrounding states.
Well, I tell you, we'll go to the news here. When we come back, I want to find out, like, because people will feel motivated here to do something. So what's the call to action on this? Who makes those decisions? We're coming right back. Yeah. Head of Vets Recover, and he says retired Admiral, but always to be Admiral Kent Davis, our guest.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right up 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Good to have Admiral Kent Davis in, and happy birthday again. Y'all don't look a year over 200. Some people say 250. You don't look a year over 200. Way to go, Navy. And this discussion and the certificate of need that has been discussed for all hospitals, but here it's weighing in on our service for veterans. We're talking about what y'all have gone through with Vets Recover and this Longleaf service.
Longleaf Recovery.
Recovery. Up in Birmingham
area.
So y'all to understand this the way I'm understanding it. So a group wants to do something. We're going to come in, we're going to offer these services, and here's how we're going to do it. But they have to go ask essentially their competitors if they're allowed to come in and do it.
Pretty much, yes. And it's in physical health, mental health services. If you're going to build a facility with beds, you've got to get a certificate of need, which is already a lengthy process. But then, heaven forbid, someone basically files a protest against your application, and that draws it out and makes it even more expensive and sometimes impossible. Some have just given up and said, too hard, don't have the money to fight this.
I mean, even the board is, I have a problem with there being a board in the first place, but the board being staffed by people that have a vested interest in keeping somebody else out of it seems that should have sent off red flags everywhere.
Yeah, let me give you another example. So Vets Recover went through this. When I was the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, we had to get, believe it or not, we had to get a certificate of need for a new state veterans home for veterans, even though we had the longest waiting list probably in the country to get into our state veterans home system. We had a protester file against our application, believe it or not, that we had to fight. Now, they finally backed off, much like they did with Vets Recovery, because sometimes it becomes a PR battle, and the protester says, this is making us look bad.
Yeah, well, I've said that many times with what's happened here in this last year and a half, too. I'm like, I don't know why they... It's going to make them look bad going against the 400,000-plus veterans in the state of Alabama. So, call to action here. So, this board is... Who puts the people on the board? Who decides who... that we have this certificate? Like, what's the mechanism for removing this?
Well, there's a state-approved state health planning board that reviews the applications. Decent people, political appointees on that board. My friend Adam Thompson wrote a brilliant article this past weekend in 1819 News saying it's past time we get rid of the certificate of need process in Alabama, and the way to do that is you're going to have a legislator step up and sponsor legislation. So I'm hoping someone has the gumption to do that and say, well, let's follow the lead of other states. We're kind of behind already on this.
I mean, I think the fulcrum here for me is that this other group you talked about has successfully navigated doing this in California. Mm-hmm. They can't do it in Alabama.
I visited their facility, and they told me this to my face.
And I try to look at it, trying to be open-minded here, the problems that could happen. But you're not saying don't have the inspections of the new services.
No.
So what could happen? What risk would they mitigate by keeping somebody else out of it? They go in, they risk capital and open something that doesn't work, it shuts down.
Exactly. That's, again, the basis of our economy, competition. You take the risk.
Yeah.
If you want to put the capital up and make a go of it, great. If it doesn't, well, you shut your doors.
You do the same inspections that the players that are already in here are trying to keep them out. So everybody is held to the same standards.
Yep.
Right? So equal under the law, same standards. And you either make it or you don't. But they're saying we don't even want them in the mix.
It seems to have devolved completely into an anti-competitive measure. And frankly, sometimes a crony capitalism measure where, you know, those that are favored get to open their doors, and those who don't have the assets or the connections, sorry.
You know, this tracks with my discussion of a lot of things in our state,
mm-hmm.
where I don't feel we are we're pro, I would argue, maybe big business state, but not a medium or smaller business state. And I don't think we have surrounding states. I mean, look at Florida that does a lot better on this. But in this case, it's not just, hey, they're keeping people from doing whatever. They're keeping possibly veterans from getting services.
Oh,
and physical care and mental health care. But in this case, sitting here talking to you, I'm thinking about the veterans out there.
Absolutely. I've been saying this for years. This is what got me in trouble politically in Alabama, was complaining about the lack of mental health services for veterans in the state and efforts to stymie improvements sometimes for veterans' mental health. It's kind of appalling. Those who have served their country, we are not putting our best foot forward. Now, you know, the road to heck is paved with good intentions. I think mm-hmm. there are some politicians that are trying. They don't always have reasoned judgment in the measures that they're taking. And there's some things going on right now that I disagree with. They're not talking to the right people. They're not looking at existing platforms and institutions out there that are doing good things. If they would just support them instead of reinventing the wheel, we could do some great things in this state.
Fair enough. I don't know that they wake up every morning, people in those positions go, what can I do to not help veterans?
No.
Okay. But they don't realize the things they do that get in the way of helping veterans. Is that, I don't know that it's like they go, I really don't want to help veterans, but I don't think they get up and go, how today can I help veterans?
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's been a lot of that over the last year or so.
I just, once again, leads me scratching my head. We've got a minute left here. But in our state, okay, the number of veterans we have is as patriotic of a state as we are, that we fail on this.
We do. People are starting to take notice. The Alabama Commission on the Evaluation of Services, a great little-known state agency, just took a look at the crisis centers in Alabama and made a lot of critical assessments of those centers in Alabama. If people would just start listening to those including Vets Recover and me, over the last few years about how you could truly improve veterans' mental health services in the state. We've been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. We've been at the front lines. We've talked to veterans. If they would just listen to us and stop the politics sometimes and come up with practical means of addressing this, but it just doesn't seem to happen in this state sometimes.
But it's amazing to me. If we're sitting there and saying the goal here is to reduce, you know, veterans' mental health problems, mm-hmm. and somebody is doing it and being successful, I would say, well, let's just do more of that.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Why not support things that are proven to work instead of, frankly, keep pumping money into things that haven't worked here in this state? And that ACES report was pretty critical. And they've done a couple of reports over the last 4 to 5 years saying, why are you shoveling money into the same programs that are not working?
I'm going to start paying attention to this commission and getting that information out. Admiral, as always, thank you.
Thanks so much, Sean.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. 343-0106 gets you through. Hey, also, think this through for a second. Maybe the time to get the service work done on your Yamaha Mercury engine is now. My friends at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service got specials going on this month, plus they got the Master Tech on staff. Yamaha trained every year for what's new, everything for their engines. But they're doing a service right now, and you get a discount this time of year to get, and in addition to getting your engine serviced, if you want to get other things fixed on the boat or new electronics put in or shallow water anchor or anything like that, they can put those in, but they can also put the boat to bed the right way. All the service work done. For those of you that don't run the boat until spring, then it's undercover there. Everything's perfect. So when you back down the ramp for your first trip of the year, everything's ready to go next year. So call ahead or just check them out online, bluewateryachtsales.net, and set yourself an appointment. Drop the boat off. You're not using it this time of year. You're doing football and other things. Get that service work done with Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service on the East I-65 Service Road and Orange Beach Marina. All right, to the text line here. Let's see. Let's go back. Oh, my gosh, I got to go back a good ways here. Let's see. Buddy said Charlie Kirk's birthday was October 14th. And remembrance, people are wearing red shirts tomorrow to honor him. IT Jesus said the problem with looking back in history for judgment is that it depends on what point of time you stop looking back. 100%. Joshua says indigenous people had slaves and sacrificed humans and animals. Columbus had a slave or slaves, I'm told, and probably unknowingly got indigenous people sick that may have died. Oh, yeah, a bunch. Choose your hero. If I had to choose, I'd lean towards Columbus, and I have a little indigenous blood in me. I think they're just, and I hear what you're saying, Joshua. I just think this idea that we have to compare like two-dimensional versus three-dimensional, just people are human beings, you know? And I read a lot of accounts from trying to find from all sides of this in our history. It's something I'm really interested in. B-Dark says we got a war in this country. That's why we need a Department of War. Butterknife said, Sean, watch out. All the Republicans are going to start calling you a purple bottomland wearing liberal if you keep pointing out where Alabama's falling short. Nah, I'm an Alabamian. I want our state to do better, Butterknife, and I've been doing that for a long time. Oh, I've been called all kind of stuff. I don't care. You know, that's gone through that. There, if you want to talk about what's more Alabama, is to support our veterans. And the Certificate of Need stuff, it is just, if you don't study it, right, you hear something like that and you go, well, there's probably some need for a certificate of need. Yeah, I just don't know it. All right, let me go on to the next thing. I want to hear something more about the Bama game or something like that, right? But when you delve into it and go, no, it's not that they wouldn't have regulation. Because if they said, oh, well, places can start up and give treatment and they don't have to follow the same standards, okay, I got a problem then. Because there's, you want, especially somebody dealing with mental health issues, you want to know there's a standard there. Cool. It's not that. They could have the same inspections, same oversight as the others, but should they be allowed to compete? But this is, I mean, this goes back, I mean, it's a narrative that goes through our state. It's on the gambling thing, right? We've talked about this so many times when I've been opposed to the gambling bills out of Montgomery. It's not that I have an opposition to there being gambling here. I'm not a gambler, but I believe if people were to vote on it, I don't have the, you know, but at the same time, if you think it's good for society to have gambling, that's not true either. But there's all kinds of things we do that aren't good for us. But they've tried to make it monopolies, right? Like I used to argue that it was the gambling utility for the state of Alabama versus saying, okay, and I understand the nuances of this. I've talked about it at days and days and days worth of talk radio about this. But what I would like to see is a free market system. You want to open a casino, you got to follow the same rules. State gets the excise tax, does all that stuff. They can oversee it, make sure you're not cheating, all that stuff. And if you want to risk your capital and open one, I don't care. You do it. If you don't make it, be like the rest of us. All right, Michael says the problem is that Alta Point donates more money to politicians than our veterans organizations do. You know, and Michael, this is something I've talked to the veterans community about, and they're doing something about it, and we're probably going to have more information coming out on this soon, is I said, I wish y'all didn't. I said this like last year, year and a half, in a private conversation. Not that it was private material, but it wasn't on the air, I don't think. I said, you shouldn't have to have a lobby. Veterans in our state should not have to have lobbyists, but you can sit there and say that what it should be or what it is. And what it is that you got to have one. So when bills come out, and members of the legislature are being told by the people that on one side of this, what's in the bill, and I know we can go back, they should read the bill, do their own homework. I agree, but you could also say that that's not happening. The number of people that voted against the veterans, I would argue, and voted with Governor Ivey's push bill here to change the structure of the Alabama Veterans Association, Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, didn't know everything that was in the bill. Well, the flip side would be if you had a lobbyist in the halls of Goat Hill saying, hey, I'm here to tell you what's in here, and I'm coming from the veterans' perspective, you may say, well, we don't need to do that. But that's the way it is. B-Dark says, Butterknife needs to go back home. He doesn't deserve Alabama. I don't know about that. Butterknife comes back and says, Sean, we've heard the same stuff before. This is the reason veterans were protesting against the governor. It's nothing new. I agree. We can go down the list of things, Butterknife, that I think that we screw up in here. And just to say, well, you know, that's they shouldn't have to have their own. Well, they need their own lobbyist. The veterans in our state, I would say they need to have lobbyists, you know, plural. Look what happened when you didn't. All right. So that's where it stands. What I think is interesting, and the Admiral pointed out, that this could be changed. So if you're talking to your representative, you're talking to your senator, before they get back into session next year, where they go back, I think, February this year, or early, it's like early, I think, start asking, you know, how are we going to change this board for certificate of need? Because they could pass a law to do away with it. Now, I would love if there's somebody who, on the flip side, can tell me why we desperately need this certificate of need. I would love to hear from them as well. But what I'm hearing right now, it seems like, and even if you had a board to define certificate of need, the other people that would be in competition with the new hospital or facility coming, that they're on the board of making decisions? Whatever you do, whatever your business is, would you love to be on a board that decided who could get in to compete against you? Like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think they need to be in. I mean, that's something to be in that kind of situation where you could just protect your, it's not true monopoly, but protect your business. I mean, I would be like, yeah. Well, you know, it's too much competition. We don't need that. Jarhead. I would love to see the military pay, maybe paid before Congress. I think it says paid before Congress, but they got plenty of money from all the deals they make. Greedy people are always going to be greedy. Yeah. Well, Jarhead, you know, in their defense, you know, they're talking about, well, Congress is getting paid constitutionally. even when you don't like it. I mean, the Constitution is the Constitution. They get paid, even during a shutdown. Should we ask them to change that? I would say yes. And I know, like, individual, I think Senator Britt and others have said, okay, I'm not going to take my check during this time, and appreciate that. But that doesn't mean going forward, y'all can't pass something that says, all right, we're going to amend this. And if there's a shutdown, we don't get paid if the military's not getting paid. I know Trump's trying to work something out here, but they were talking about it. Mike Johnson was talking about it last week, and I still don't think there's anything ready to vote on. So, all right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Checking with my buddy Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And once again, a superlative number for gold. You were talking about it Friday. It was doing good. You said, yeah, looking like it's still going up. Anna, still going up.
Yeah, it says 4,100 now. And then silver hit like almost $52 an ounce earlier.
Wow. Okay. So side note here, I mean, I know that Ron and I had talked about all the different ways people can buy gold and silver, but, you know, the gold backs and all that kind of stuff. Y'all are still buying as well, right? Somebody's got gold, they got silver, y'all are buying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've been buying, selling, trading the last few weeks now.
Okay. And also on the gold and silver formed into things that are pretty, you said you just got a bunch of new jewelry in, too.
Yeah, we've got, you know, yellow gold and white gold, tennis bracelets with diamonds, colored gemstones. We have earrings with diamonds and gemstones, necklaces, rings. I'm putting new stuff out as it comes in into the case, prepping us for Christmas. So if you wanted to get in on these deals, you could before I even put it in the case, because I'll discount it a whole lot more before I have to shoot pictures of it in inventory.
Okay, wait, now tell people once again, what do they need to do to get the discount? You got everybody's attention. They said, what? Okay, they come to you now?
You got to come in and ask for stuff that's not even out in the case yet, because I've got trays of stuff to
look. What do you mean?
Through.
Do I just come in and say, hey, Anna, you got stuff that's not in the case. Let me see it?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. Now y'all know the password now. All right, well, tell them how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Good stuff, Anna. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And yeah, that gold, I mean, I think it's even higher than, yeah, $4,123.50. Man, and the silver, over 50, that's something. All right. Grab a text or two here. I got an update story, too. Pat says, I think the certificate of need goes statewide since all these hospitals get so much state money, so they can't just open up on every corner. But they're not even asking for it in that case, Pat. Like, they should be able to risk opening and not have enough money. I mean, if they close, it stinks, but they shouldn't have their competitors decide if they should be able to do it or not. Butter Knife says, I love Alabama, but our government the last 8 years has been underperforming. We should expect a lot better from them, but we don't. We're satisfied with this. Well, remember this, too, when we're in session and I'm on here going, do we really need this bill? Do we really need that bill? Is that what we should be spending our time on? Is that so? When it's during session and we're talking about this stuff, that's why we're talking about this stuff. And people say, well, you must whatever. I mean, I continue to pick on them because it's been some years, been maybe 6-7 years ago. Yeah, they're pushing a bill to, we're going to ban, keep Sharia law from being in place in Alabama. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want Sharia law in place in Alabama, but it's not fixing to happen. Why don't y'all just work on the budget for a little bit, you know? All right, the follow-up story here, this is from Fox 10 TV, from WALA. You'll remember this story from back when it broke. So the headline here, it is just wrong. Federal judge fines and chastises Loxley lawyer for AI snafu. Now, this is a local story of it, but there is this, it's been going on all over the country here. says 3 months after learning that a lawyer used artificial intelligence program to draft a court filing that turned out to have erroneous case citations, a federal judge has lowered the boom. U.S. District Judge Terry Moore wrote an 18-page order fining the lawyer, James Johnson, and ordering him to alert current and future clients. He wrote that lawyers and even judges can make mistakes despite the best efforts, but added that Johnson's conduct goes beyond that. This is from the judge. It said the court further has no difficulty finding that Mr. Johnson's misconduct was more than mere recklessness. The insertion of bogus citations is not a mere typographical error, nor the subject of a reasonable defense. It's just wrong, end quote. You remember this story, right? And like I said, this is our local story, and it's not the only one here. But this is a thing, we look at AI and people using AI, which it can be a blessing, and I think it can be a curse. And I think if you have to ask ChatGPT everything, then you lose mental strength, right? You don't do the reps with your brain. It says Ian Rosenthal, attorney representing Johnson, did not immediately return a phone call seeking comment. The incident centers on a filing asking for the postponement of a federal drug trial. Johnson, a lawyer based in Locksley, admitted during a hearing in July that an AI program he used to draft the filing cited cases that did not exist. That's the Sullivan versus Sullivan decision. Yeah. The judge ordered Johnson to pay a $5,000 fine. He also instructed Johnson to file a copy of the order in all his pending cases, as well as all of his new cases during the next 12 months and in any jurisdiction in which he is licensed to practice law. The judge also ordered the clerk of the federal court in Mobile to send a copy of the order to the general counsel of Alabama State Bar, along with the chief judges of the Middle and Northern Districts of Alabama. Finally, the judge referred Johnson to the court's advisory panel to determine whether he should be removed from the panel of lawyers who receive court-appointed criminal cases. Now, this is coming down pretty hard here, right? Goes on to the story from Fox 10, say Johnson's far from the first lawyer across the country to get in trouble with artificial intelligence. False citations from AI-generated court filings are common enough that it has a name, hallucinations. Yeah, we've talked about that on the show before. Moore listed that more than a dozen similar cases from other courts and noted that it was, quote, only a small segment, end quote, of what he found. He wrote the issue has drawn widespread news coverage, both in legal press and general media. Judge went on to say, yet the improper use of generative AI is a problem that sadly is not going away despite the general knowledge in the legal community that AI can hallucinate and make up cases. Somehow the message has still not been hammered home as the epidemic of citing fake cases continues unabated. End quote. That's among the reasons, including the sanctions beyond the monetary file, according to the judge. In other words, you're making a point here. This is, if you use AI too, it's a tool, I think, if you kind of know what you're talking about, right? So if AI does the heavy lifting, but you can look at that information comes out from AI and say, yeah, that's not a thing, right? You have to be good enough at it to be able to let it work for you, right? You have to be a good, and to just think of it. I mean, that's the worry. I mean, if ChatGPT comes back and tells you that Washington crossed the Susquehanna at Trenton, not the Delaware, you may say it seemed dumb, right? But there's nobody's fate in your hands except yours. But if you're using it for work, and especially like this, and citing cases, either you believe what it gives you and you say, oh, those are real cases, or you just don't care. So it goes in here, said the case. Johnson committed his gaffe. They're talking about the attorney. Johnson committed his gaffe in a high-profile drug case that has drawn heavy media coverage due to, in part, sensational allegations that children were acting as couriers. It first gained public attention when the Mobile County Sheriff's deputies reported finding a 3-year-old child with a backpack full of drugs. So that's the case that you had the citations in. But the bigger story is this is not by itself. It's going on. Like you heard the judge say, and you look at the stories, and not just here. It's going on all over the place. All right. Oh, and as we get ready for Paul Feinbaum to take over, B-Dark sending me pictures of her dogs wearing LSU hats. Not only are my dogs LSU fans, they're Democrats too. Okay. I don't know. Why would you let them be LSU fans? Now, we'll see what happens early next month, how that game turns out, right? By the way, I came up a little bit in college pickup. Not great, not like Dalton or Ben Murphy or some of the others, y'all, but I came up some. So maybe this weekend will be good for my picks. All right, Paul does his thing next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business, same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.